see?
Absolutely.
All right.
Mr. Paddock, you have 15 minutes. Do you care to reserve anything for rebuttal?
I do, Your Honor. 5 minutes, if I... I may not need all five.
Five minutes for rebuttal.
I prefer to have the five. Thank you, Your Honor. To please the court, my name is Ben Paddock. I'm here on behalf of the appellant, Mr. Beck. I appreciate the opportunity to argue this case here today. This matter has generated some sort of frustration for counsel. In many years of practicing law, which I love, the comfort and the beauty in practicing law is there's structure and parameters. And as attorneys, we live by the routines and the parameters, and we come to expect them and anticipate them. And there's tremendous comfort in that. The Commonwealth, and I feel that's been violated in this case, and that's why it's a source of frustration for counsel. The Commonwealth was successful at the trial level in asking the court to decide the case based on an argument that had nothing to do with the facts, that were not the facts in the record. The Commonwealth is also asking this court to decide the case on an argument that is not reflective of the facts in the record. The utility room and the garage are private rooms in a private residence, pure and simple.
Well, how can they be purely private rooms in a private residence? Because if you conclude that there are two residences, the main house and then the apartment, aren't those common rooms? I mean, he has authorization to be in the utility room. He has authorization to be in the garage. There's no question about that. But the question then is, are they part of the dwelling, or are they common areas for a building with multiple dwellings?
It's one residence. They are part of a private dwelling. The Commonwealth's position at trial and on appeal is they are not rooms in a private dwelling. They are not private rooms owned by Ms. Shook. They are apartment building common areas. They're common to Mrs. Shook's residence. They're not common to the public, so that the public can walk in at any time.
Are they common to Mr. Beck's residence?
Correct. When Mr. Beck or his mother stood in the utility room, they were standing inside their own residence. They were standing inside Ms. Shook's residence.
That's if there's only one residence. If there are two residences, isn't that like a multi-story apartment building?
Not as the Commonwealth is asking this court to decide. The Commonwealth is saying they're not part of Ms. Shook's residence. They're not part of Mr. Beck's residence. They're a common area where anybody can walk in at any time for whatever reason. A police officer.
Well, let me ask you about a multi-story apartment building that has a common utility room that all of the residents are allowed to use. I'm in apartment 2, somebody else is in apartment 22. We both are allowed in the common utility room, so I assume I can't burgle the common utility room. But if I live in apartment 2 and I break down the door to apartment 22 and go in and take stuff, have I committed a burglary?
In apartment 22. But in an apartment complex, which is not what this case is about, it's not about an apartment complex. The Commonwealth is asking the court to imagine some imaginative apartment complex, which has nothing to do with the case, that the laundry room, a hallway, a garage in an apartment complex, they are rooms that are not the subject of burglary. You have not, if someone has not committed a burglary if they go into the common hallway of an apartment building. They've only committed a burglary if they go into an apartment, someone's residence.
Are we talking about statutory burglary or common law?
Both. In this instance, both, Your Honor, in this instance, if the Commonwealth is successful in again convincing a tribunal to affirm this conviction, Ms. Shook's garage, and their argument is, Ms. Shook's garage and Ms. Shook's utility room are not the subject of burglary. They cannot be burglarized. They're public common areas. Clearly they can be the subject of burglary.
Well, in my apartment hypo, the common laundry room for the residents of the apartment building is not open to the general public.
It could be, and that's why it's another...
Well, wait a minute. I want you to assume for me that it's just for the use of the residents of the apartment building. Assume that. Could they be burgled at that point?
No, Your Honor, because the residents of an apartment building, assuming they're only used by the people in the apartment building, they don't live there. They're not considered part of their dwelling. A laundry room is not considered part of their dwelling.
Well, and of course, that seems to beg the question, are the laundry room and garage here part of the dwelling? And that, I take it, takes us to the Lacey case. And so my question is a garage part, is an attached garage part of the dwelling? Is that a question of law or a question of fact that may depend on whether there's an adjacent apartment?
Both. But this court can only decide this case based on what these facts are. And these facts are Ms. Shook owned that private garage as part of her private residence. The Commonwealth is arguing to transform that into an apartment complex common area. Now, apartment complexes, there could be an innumerable amount of scenarios that can constitute what is an apartment complex. Is the laundry room only for the residents?
Doesn't this really come down to access and what? Who has access to what in this instance?
It certainly does, Your Honor.
Okay, hang on. So, doesn't that become a factual determination?
And the factual determination
is... that yes?
Yes. Correct. Yes. I apologize. Yes.
Okay.
The factual determination is the laundry room and the garage are the residents of Mr. Beck and Ms. Shook. No one else. No one else lives other than his mother and Ms. Shook's son. And Ms. Shook's third roommate, which also lived there at that time. They're the only people that can have unfettered access to that property.
But Beck is a renter, right?
He rented a portion of her residence, correct.
And he has access to the laundry room. And he has access to the garage. Is
correct.
That your point?
And he lives there. And he lives there. He has access to it, and it's his home. It's part of his home. They're connected to his portion where he slept and watched TV and whatnot. It's his home.
And we don't have anything in the record about the rental agreement in terms of whether the rental agreement included the access to the utility room and the garage?
No. Mr. Beck's mother testified that she told me I had to be out by the end of the month. My lease was up. That's the only reference to it. But everyone understood at trial that the utility room and the garage were part of everyone's home. It wasn't that they just had access to it. They lived there because...
Well, if we conclude that there was sufficient evidence in the record to allow the trier of fact to conclude that there were two residences that had a common utility room and a common garage. I know you disagree with that, but make that assumption.
I'm listening.
Is he guilty of burglary?
No.
Why? Okay. Now, why not? Two residences, those are common areas.
Well, from assignment of error one or assignment of error two? Because in Ms. Shook's garage, if the garage is open and he walks in, he's walking into a private residence.
Well, no, I just told you to assume that they're not part of the private residence. They're common areas between two separate residences. I know you don't accept that, but if we conclude the trier, it is a question of fact, and the trier of fact could have concluded that, he's guilty of burglary.
I have to be deferential to the court, and I acknowledge what the court is saying, and I'm listening. I can only say my position is that's not what the facts of this case are.
Okay. What is the basis in the record for saying that a fact finder could not have reached such a conclusion? Because my reading of the briefs, my reading of the record is that the utility room was a common area and the garage was a common area because they both had access to it. But nobody was allowed in anybody in the set... Other than as a landlord, she wouldn't have been allowed into the separate apartment, and he wasn't allowed into Ms. Shook's house. Not saying they're not part of the same dwelling, but I'm asking you for why a jury could not have concluded that, given all of the facts.
Simply, again, Your Honor, if the court please, it's their home. It's a residence. The utility room and the garage...
It's multiple families' homes, and it's clear that they don't share the same homes. They can't go to the same areas. That's undisputed, correct? other than the utility room and the garage, is there anywhere in the Shook's home, the rest of the residence, that he's allowed to go without explicit permission?
He can't go into her portion of the residence outside of the utility room.
Now, other than any ability she has as a landlord, Ms. Shook is not allowed to cross his threshold either, correct?
His door part past the utility room.
Okay.
Correct.
Right. So the question is, could a jury have found that there are two residences instead of one? And my question to you is, what facts in the record preclude the fact finder from saying there are two residences here?
Because it's Ms. Shook's private garage and utility room. The only way the Commonwealth can prevail is to argue to a tribunal or to the trier of fact, these rooms are not what the facts say they are. The utility room and the garage do not cease to exist as private rooms within a house. If the Commonwealth is correct...
Why?
Because the public cannot simply walk into Ms. Shook's garage at any time.
Is the standard whether the public can do it, or is the standard whether your client can do it?
My client can do it. This case is only, like this case, these facts, my client can walk into that garage unfettered because he lives there. Again, there are innumerable apartment complexes. I would imagine an apartment complex can be, the public can walk into the garage and not be committing a crime. If the Commonwealth is
trespassing.
Correct, Your Honor?
At least trespassing.
Assuming there aren't not a no trespassing sign. It's certainly there are apartment complexes where people can look for their friends. I want to see where my friend lives. I want to go. I'm walking down the hallway. Is that person committing a burglary? Are they committing a crime? No, because the hallway is not subject to burglary.
Mr. Pavick, you're into your rebuttal time. I just want to...
Thank you. If I could then wait. Unless the court has another question. Thank you.
I'm sure
Thank
we
you.
Will, but...
Yes, Your Honor.
It'll be later.
But you've got a little bit of time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, Mr. Campbell, good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court, Aaron Campbell on behalf of the Commonwealth. I think there are two dispositive issues, and I'll only touch on briefly the first one, is whether this was one or two dwellings. I think plainly this was two dwellings under the case law. The definition of a dwelling, as we see from the Hitt case, is that it has to be a place where people engage in habitation. And it's clearly these two parts of this building were two separate places where these two families had separate habitations. You had a single-family home that was... not uncommon, had an apartment that the landlord rented out to the defendant's mother, and the defendant lived in that separate apartment. And the victim lived in the other main portion of the house, and it was connected by this utility room, this common area. So I don't think there's any... I mean, I know he disputes that this was one dwelling, but I think there, under the case law, I think it has to be two separate dwellings.
Well, it doesn't have to be two separate dwellings, does it? I mean, it's a question of fact for the trier of fact to review and conclude, isn't it?
Yes, and I think the facts bear out that this was two separate dwellings under the facts of this case, and there was a fact-finding. Fact finder did find that this was two separate dwellings. I think the more interesting question, and I think I think we may have just sort of danced around it, just because we can't agree on the fact that there are two dwellings. The question I think for this case is the defendant is a area that he's allowed to be in. The utility room. Can he commit burglary if he enters into an area that he's not allowed to be in? In this case, it would be Mrs. Shook's residence. So he's in an area that he's allowed to be in, which is the common area, the utility room, and he broke into an area that he's not allowed to be in.
If the utility room and garage are, as a matter of law, as opposed to as a factual question, but as a matter of law, if they are part of Ms. Shook's residence, he can't burglar, correct? That's hit. If he is invited into the residence, he can't commit a burglary by breaking into another room in the residence.
If he is invited into to the residence... Yeah, the hit cases, there was a house guest that was in a within a residence, and the house guest broke into a room of that residence. And I think that's also where the Clark...
So if the garage, clearly he's allowed in the garage, if the utility room are part of her dwelling slash residence, he can't commit a burglary. But the question is, yeah. Are they part of it or are they common areas?
But the hit case, that analysis is hard because they were just talking about single family residence hit and the Lacey case. But when we have structures like this one where there are multiple families, I mean, it's only two, but more than one family that lives there, I think there's a different analysis. And in my understanding of the case law is that if there is an area in which the tenant is not allowed in, but there are areas of the building that the tenant is allowed in, he can still commit burglary if he goes into the area of the that he is not allowed in.
Could I burgle the garage? If there are two residences, and so the garage and the utility room are common areas, not part of either residence, could I, as a third party, commit a burglary in the garage?
Yes, because you are not allowed in the garage. Now,
but who's could I commit a statutory burglary of someone's dwelling if I break into the garage?
Because you do not have permission.
Whose dwelling have I broken into?
Most likely the landlord's.
But if that's part of her dwelling and he's allowed in the dwelling, isn't that hit?
Yeah. I just think that analysis sort of falls apart when you're talking about the permissions.
I agree. It creates a logical loop. I'm just trying to decide where I stop on the loop, your side or his.
Right. And I think that's why this is the more interesting question. He's allowed in this area. And when does he commit the burglary?
Could the court find that... that the garage is part of the main house, but the utility room is not, or vice versa, under these facts?
Under these facts, the facts were, I think the garage is sort of a red herring because there's really no evidence of...
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to...
So the main focus needs to be on this utility room. And under the facts is that the utility room is that they were both allowed to go in the utility room, and the utility room was more so the tenant's utility room because...
She had a separate utility room,
Because she
right?
had a separate
the
utility
house.
Room. She had the utility room that she for the tenant. Landlord was...
On the garage is red herring. I want you to assume for me the facts have hit with one change. Instead of going from the bedroom that he was allowed to be in to the other bedroom, he comes from an outside window and goes into the bedroom Mr. Hitt would have burglarized if burglary had been possible. So he's authorized to be in the house but gains access to an unauthorized part of the house from some place he's not authorized. Okay? Yeah, you got me so far?
I think so.
That's still not burglary under hit, right? Because even though he didn't access it from an area he was authorized to be in, he's still authorized to be in the dwelling. So if the garage is part of the dwelling and he's authorized to be in the garage, how can he burgle the rest of the residence?
You lost me at your last sentence.
If all I need to do is to be authorized to be in the dwelling to make it impossible for me to commit a burglary within the dwelling, then isn't whether the garage is part of the dwelling dispositive? Because he's authorized to be in the garage, and so he's authorized to be in whatever... He can't burgle anything that the garage is part of.
The garage opens into the utility room, and that's why I say it's more of a red herring. So he's authorized to be in the garage. He goes into the utility room. Let's start from the utility room.
The garage here matches the garage in Lacey in every respect but one, and it may be the dispositive respect, and that is there was no delineation apartment versus house in Lacey. It was just a single-family home, and we said garage, and in Grimes' the Supreme Court says crawl space. If there's no tenant situation and he's authorized to be in the garage, he can't commit a burglary, correct?
Right.
And so the question, and that's because the garage is part of the dwelling.
Right.
If he's allowed to be in the garage and it's part of the dwelling, how can he commit a burglary?
Because in Lacey, the defendant entered into a garage and he was not allowed to be in that garage. I think this is, there's permission. He's allowed to be in there.
Which
takes you to hit, but.
Right. That there's my loop again.
Yes, he's allowed to be in there, but it is a common area of both residences. And I think that is the dispositive thing, is that it is not simply their residence, it is not simply the defendant's residence. It's this common area that they're both allowed to be in. And once you go into the area of habitation, which burglary is, the purpose of burglary is the crime against habitation, that, under my understanding of the case law, and going back to the English common law, is that even though there are these common areas within a building, you can still commit burglary if you exceed that permission into an area that you're not allowed to be in. So,
is the laundry room a common area when she has her own independent, the Shooks have their own independent laundry room, or is it the room that the defendant has access to?
Well, I mean, I can't deny that the Shooks also enter their residence through that laundry room,
that they use to enter and exit.
But I'm not sure that the record really speaks to how much they actually use the laundry room. But I think that it's probably more so a common area.
Okay.
I think still, under the case law that talks about these ancient mansion houses and how a servant is allowed to be in the home, but if he breaks into his master's chambers, then that is still burglary. I think that is what this case is analogous to.
But wouldn't that be inconsistent with Hitt?
I don't think so, because Hitt, there's the fact that he was already in that. He just broke into one single room within the home. And it wasn't a situation
presumably
where...
Presumably the master's chambers.
Right, but it wasn't a situation where that he was a house guest. It wasn't a situation where the other person lived there. And
there's no real distinction, though, between a house guest and a tenant.
Now, I would say...
But under the law. The law doesn't give us a...
Assume away the mother-in-law suite that's converted into an apartment that's advertised for rent. Assume simply that the Shooks rented him a bedroom in what everybody would concede is the main residence.
Yeah.
Okay? Can he commit a burglary in there?
No, because...
Because of Hitt.
Because of Hitt, but this is a situation where it's essentially two different apartments. I think a ruling that would say that a co-tenant cannot burglarize another tenant just by the fact that they pass through a common area would be against the law of burglary. And that's my point. Is that...
Well, I think if they're co-tenants, they're in the same residence. I think, if I understand the Commonwealth's argument, it's...
Tenants, separate tenants within one building. And that's why we analogize this to an apartment building. It's no different than the apartment that I live in. There's six people that live in the building. We share a hallway. We share a foyer. There are other common areas within the building. I think a law that would say, or a decision that would say, that just the fact that the defendant passed through a common area before he actually got into the main point of habitation, we would disagree that should not be the law, and I don't think that is the law. Unless the court has any questions, I'd ask that the court affirm.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Mr. Patter?
Thank you, Your Honor. How much time did I leave myself?
You got a little over 3 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. I want to address the court's questions about the laundry room. I did ask Ms. Shook if she at some point ever used the laundry room. She said not usually. She had one on her own. I'll focus on the word usually. She certainly had the ability to use that if she wanted to, and she certainly walked through her garage, through that utility room, into her part of the house at any time she wished to. I don't think the garage is a red herring with respect to the Commonwealth. It's connected right with the laundry room. I think the court's questions about who's the victim of a burglary if somebody breaks into the garage, the Commonwealth's argument up until now is no one can be, which clearly cannot be the situation. Ms. Shook is clearly the victim of a burglary, and perhaps Mr. Beck and his mother. I think if the court affirms the burglary conviction...
Well, I have found a California case about a multi-story apartment building where the common laundry area could be... California has held that the common laundry area can be burgled by third persons but not residents of the apartment building.
And I would feel comfortable if we had some facts in the record as to what exactly we're talking... In that case, I'm sure at the trial record there was some testimony as to, well, what kind of apartment building is this? Who can walk where? Are the doors open? Are they locked? Who has keys? We don't have any of that here. We have this imaginative argument that this is now an apartment building. The Commonwealth argued at trial it's not a single family dwelling anymore. It's a two-unit apartment building.
Well, it's clearly not a single family dwelling. There are two families living there.
They can move out. Does that mean it's an abandoned apartment? I would say no. Ms. Shook can do whatever she wishes to do with that part of the house. A common area, common only to her private residence. Brothers and sisters live in the same house. The kitchen is a common area.
What if there was a key card that you'd have to use to get from the laundry room to the main residence, and neither the defendant nor his mother had that key card, and only the Shooks had that key card?
To get into the laundry room?
To get from the laundry room to the Shook's residence.
I think in essence that's probably what we have here. Ms. Shook indicated you're not allowed to come to my part.
And she said it was always locked. That door, not the garage door, but the laundry room door, correct?
To her living part.
Right.
Correct. Locked and closed. Correct. Right.
So that's effectively a key card.
You're saying there's no difference with my scenario versus she keeps it locked.
She keeps it locked. Yes, but still, the laundry room is part of her residence. It's still part of her residence. The Commonwealth's position at trial was only the living part is her residence. The laundry room and garage are not part of her residence. They cease to exist as part of her residence. There's this third category that wasn't in the record. I think if the court affirms this conviction, it will send to every homeowner in Virginia who has configured their home like this that it's two residences when there's a common area where people can walk back and forth at any time, which is still part of the residence. I don't think Ms. Shook thinks that garage and utility room can't be the subject of burglary anymore, which is exactly what the Commonwealth is asking this court to do. Thank you.